Liberty Watch is produced by Charles Heller. The opinions expressed are not endorsed by KVOI, its sponsors, or guests.
Thomas Lurie is a sheriff in New York. He is the sheriff of Fulton County. He is born and raised in Fulton County, New York. He served in the U.S. Navy during the Vietnam era and 20 years with the Gloversville, New York Police Department, and he was elected Fulton County Sheriff in 1995. And it is a joy, a pleasure, and an honor to welcome to the telephones and microphones of Liberty Watch Sheriff Thomas Lurie. Welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, Charles. Pleasure to be here.
I'm glad you could be with us. You're a father and a grandfather, and you served in the Navy. Thank you for your service to the country in the Navy. What was your specialty there in the Navy?
I was a machinist, mate. Mm. I operated the engines of the ship. Mm. It was an LSD, an amphibious vessel.
Well, thanks again for your service. And you have been sheriff of Fulton County, New York, since 1995. That's a long time, having been in elected office, and it's a long time being in law enforcement. Over the years, What do you think are some of the biggest lessons that law enforcement service has shown you the way to?
I think that my service in law enforcement has made me a better American, and I think it's showed me the good and the bad of people.
Is there generally more good than bad in your experience?
Well, by and large, there's a lot more good than bad. There's some good in everybody.
On to the circumstance at hand, can you please tell us, New York recently passed an extremely draconian gun law. Can you please tell us what the New York, because you're speaking largely to an audience in New York, although there are people who listen on the Internet all over the country, and in fact, all over the world, I happen to know. But those of us who are in Arizona don't understand what New York gun laws are, for the most part. Some of us do that are tuned in, but a lot of us do not. Can you tell us what the SAFE Act is and what it says you have to do?
On January 15th of this year, the governor signed the New York Secure Ammunition and Firearms Enforcement, so known as the SAFE Act, and essentially it bans assault weapons, restricts magazine capacity, and makes various other amendments to New York state law in relation to gun ownership.
And what is that restriction down to as far as the number of rounds in the magazine?
It went from ten down to seven, I should say, which to me does absolutely nothing to protect anyone.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, it might endanger folks who use their gun for self-defense.
What are people supposed to do? No one really makes, except for the Colt 1911, no one really makes a seven-round magazine. Well, I can't say that. You might have a Walther PPKS or something like that with a seven-round mag, but other than that, nobody really makes a seven-round magazine, and guns like the Glock, the medium-frame Glock, were designed to run on a 15-round magazine. What is someone supposed to do with their full-capacity magazines, or even their 10-rounders now?
Well, New York State kept on the books essentially the same laws that were passed federally. And New York State Quad does make 10-round magazines, but this new law makes them unlawful to transfer.
So you can't get rid of it, and you can't sell it to anybody. Can you sell it outside of the state of New York?
You're allowed to take it outside the state of New York and sell it, but you can't transfer it to anyone, even in your own family.
Be darned. What about through inheritance?
Well, essentially, that's banned also. And once you're, if you have a high-capacity magazine of any kind, you can't transfer within the state in any way, shape, or form.
What's interesting, I thought about it, was they were in such an all-fired hurry to do this that they either forgot or intentionally did not exempt law enforcement. So, technically, when does the law take effect?
Well, various forms of it take effect on different dates. Interestingly, the actual ban on high-capacity magazines doesn't take effect until April 2014. In other words, if you had a high-capacity magazine more than 10 rounds prior to this law, you can keep it until 2014. And if you still have it, then you'll be in violation of the law.
And is that a felony or a misdemeanor?
The law is quite unclear right now. Law enforcement hasn't even been informed of the various statutes, and I think you'll find that the legislature is working on chapter amendments to try to rectify some of the mistakes that were made, chiefly the one that doesn't exempt law enforcement.
In other words, a police officer's gun is just as illegal as a citizen's gun if it's got more than 10 rounds in it. Or more than seven
that's
rounds.
Correct.
More than seven rounds. I actually, don't you think that's a good idea? Don't you think people should have the same capacity for having self-defense as the police?
I certainly do. I think all law is a bad idea, mm-hmm. outside of some of the sentencing changes and the mental health changes, but the law relating to guns is a bad idea in my estimation.
It's a horrible, in fact, it's such a horrible idea, you believe it to be unconstitutional, and you've made a public statement that you're not going to enforce it. Is that correct?
Well, I'm actually on board with I've signed on to several lawsuits in the state against the law, and it's my hope that it will be found unconstitutional and the entire thing will be thrown out.
That would be really good. Congratulations. You follow in the footsteps of a lot of other courageous county sheriffs like Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Prince in the 1997 case that got much of the Brady Law overturned as unconstitutional in the Supreme Court. Congratulations on that. And is there any particular organization that's heading that up? Is Second Amendment Foundation doing that, or are you guys doing it on your own?
I'm a member of Oath Keepers, and as far as I know, I'm the only New York sheriff that is, but rest assured there are several other New York sheriffs that feel the same that I do and have also made statements that they feel the law is not constitutional, and they're not going to put things on to people that are not constitutional.
Interesting. Now, I recently attended, I gave a speech similar to what I was saying, only a little longer, on the steps of the Capitol, and like I did in Albany, and you were immediately after me. And the gist of it was that there are, around the country, there are hundreds. At the time I made the speech, there were 269 sheriffs who had said, some of them said, not only were they not going to enforce new laws like this, federal laws, but they were also going to actively resist if the federal government came in and tried to enforce them. Have you made such a statement, or are you focusing entirely on the New York law?
Well, as a member of Oath Keepers, I made that pledge many years ago that I would not enforce any unconstitutional law on the people of my county, and I wouldn't allow the government to come into my county and do that.
It's interesting. Have you gotten any blowback on that from county officials or from New York state officials?
Well, the fact of the matter is that the county legislature here, which is the Board of Supervisors, has passed a resolution recently that backs my stand 100% and copies to the governor. Several counties in New York have done that.
That's got to really honk Andrew off.
I don't know that he's bothered by it. The statements in the news are that we're a bunch of extremists, and the bulk of the people want his laws enforced, and who knows where it's going to go.
I'm sorry, the bulk of the people want his laws enforced, and what was the next statement?
That's what Andrew Cuomo thinks, and I'm not sure where it's going to go. I'm hoping that the courts will straighten it out before anything further has to take place.
Right. Have you ever met Governor Cuomo?
No, I haven't.
Oh. I wondered if you thought that he was very bolted to the plank of reason.
Or the thought, by and large, of the New York State gun owners that Mr. Cuomo wants to become the president, and that he saw this as a way he get a national platform and get his name out there.
So you think he's grandstanding with this in order to get national attention?
Well, I've heard several different theories, and I don't know him, so I can't really speak on what he thinks, but that would be my guess.
Interesting. You know, one of the things that, when I gave that speech in Colorado, that there was a Representative Rosenthal in the legislature there, in the Colorado legislature, who heard me talking about the constitutional sheriffs like yourself who would obey their oath rather than the law, because, of course, the Constitution is the highest law. It's the law of the land. And so, and he was appalled. I had a phone conversation with him later, and he said that, quote, sheriffs would be breaking the law, unquote. What might you be able to say to educate the Representative Rosenthals of this country as to whether or not that would be breaking, in quotes, the law?
Well, it's my opinion, the opinion of many others, that the folks who passed this law are actually breaking the law by not following the Constitution.
That's so clear and concise. How can you... in New York, how can you have such a clear, concise view of law and what your oath is and transact business in a state where they're so unfriendly to many things, private property rights, right to keep and bear arms? How do you transact business in that state?
Well, it's very difficult. New York State is kind of divided between New York City and the upstate folks. New York City has one point of view. Upstate has another point of view.
It's kind of, in a way, a lot like Chicago and downstate. There's,
yes.
Yeah. You know, there's the Empire of Emmanuel used to be the Kingdom of Daly, and now it's the Empire of Emmanuel. And then there's the rational portion of the state. By the way, the DuPage County Sheriff, with DuPage County is right outside of Cook County, and he's taken a similar stand to what you have. So there is reason right next to irrationality. I suppose you'd say the same between New York, upstate New York, and the city.
Certainly.
I'll be darned. All right, if you will stand by for just a little bit, we have our first break coming up.
Without the second, what good are the rest?
Good question. Without the second, what good are the rest? And here to answer in part that type of question is with us the Sheriff of Fulton County, New York, Sheriff Tom Laurie. He's been the sheriff there since 1995. Sheriff Laurie, you were mentioning that you believe that it's the intent of the serving administration to bring the type of regulation that New York has unfortunately passed to the entire United States. What would you tell the people of the United States who are going to hear this on the Internet, hearing it locally in Arizona, from Phoenix to Nogales and from about Gila Bend to almost into well into New Mexico, and also who are going to hear it later on the Internet? What warning would you give them about the future in terms of the right to keep and bear arms?
I certainly want to remind folks that this is not only about the Second Amendment, but it's about the entire Constitution of the United States, the entire American way of life. If we allow the Second Amendment to be usurped, then I think we're in danger, real danger of the rest of them falling, and from the way of life as we know it would fall.
From the way what again?
The way of life as we know it in America would completely disintegrate, and we're going to become a state which the government tells us what time to get up and what time to go to bed and what to do with everything we own. I don't think it's right.
All right, let me tell you what the anti-freedom people would say to that. They would say that that's what we call a slippery slope argument, and they would say, where is the nexus between saying you can only have 7 rounds in your gun and telling you what everything else to do? Where, in your view, your professional view as a law enforcement officer, where is that nexus? How can you clarify that for people?
I believe that this is going to go through the Supreme Court, maybe even the Supreme Court of the United States. I believe it's going to be found unconstitutional, and I believe that if it's not, the rest of the Constitution is not going to stand. Your freedom of speech is going to go, and it already has to some extent. The government has already said that it's illegal for you to protest anywhere that the Secret Service is protecting someone. In other words, if you want to go and protest the current president, you can't do that within earshot of him. You'll be arrested. That's already a law.
Is that, in your view, constitutional?
Absolutely not. It's crazy.
Would you take the same view to the enforcement of that law as you would towards the enforcement of the New York Safe Act?
I certainly do. It's unconstitutional. I think they're stepping on Americans, and I think largely they've woke up a big segment of society that is going to let them know that they're not going to stand for this.
Interesting. Okay, we have a phone call coming in. I'm going to take it sort of in the blind. Caller, your first name, please.
Philip.
Hi, Philip. Your question for Sheriff Thomas Laurie of Fulton County, New York.
Yeah, this is kind of being pulled out of the air, too, as we're speaking about us losing our rights. Well, he's in New York. Mayor Bloomberg is practically on a campaign of being dictator in that city about everything. Something new is always coming up. So at what point can he just dictate everything? Or all the mayors start dictating everything? He's saying that we're not losing our rights, but he's showing that we are. I mean, at what point is it that they just start saying that we have to do all these things anyway, all the way to the point of our doorstep and beyond?
Sheriff Laurie, could you hear him okay?
I didn't quite get the text of his message.
He was saying that he was saying that that Mayor Bloomberg, and of course that's down in New York City, and you're a good 200 miles away from there, if I don't miss my guess, maybe a little further than that in Fulton County. You're between Schenectady and Albany, New York, a little bit north of the line in between them. But he was saying that Mayor Bloomberg has in effect become a dictator. He didn't say it, but talking about the 16-ounce soda rule and a lot of other things, and now they're going after trans fats in restaurants and things like that. At what point does it become dictatorship, do you think?
I think it's well on the way to dictatorship. And the people are sleeping and letting it happen by electing folks such as Mayor Bloomberg. If you don't go to the polls in November, you really don't have a complaint. Voting reserve are right, and we should all do it. And surprisingly, very few people go of the whole population.
Mm-hmm. Did he get elected by a great majority, by a landslide, or was it a fairly thin margin?
I really don't know. I don't remember.
That's a long ways away from you, too. So, and people have to remember that New York is a pretty big state. There's a lot more than just New York City in it. I know the population in New York is somewhere between 9 and 11 million people, maybe a little bit more than that. I don't know but exactly. But what's the population of the rest of the state of New York compared to the city?
Well, it used to be equal. I think that New York City is a little bit higher now than the rest of the state combined, but it used to be just about equal.
Mm-hmm. And so that gives them huge political weight.
Well, one thing that Mayor Bloomberg is to the gun control debate is a big funder of the anti-gun movement. He is a billionaire, and he throws a lot of money at it.
Yeah, unfortunately, his money is where his mouth is. So, and I would say he's not a hypocrite in that respect, but his security detail has the exact type of guns that the Governor Cuomo has banned, and I don't think he's going to take their magazine capacity down to 7, do you?
No. Well, in case any of your listeners are thinking that this is only about military-style weapons, the law actually in New York now makes the popular Ruger 10/22 an assault weapon.
Hmm.
And the reason for that is that it's capable of accepting a magazine that holds more than 10 rounds. The standard magazine that comes with a Ruger is 10 rounds, which it's going to be illegal in New York. Yet, contradictory, because you can have a 22 rifle with a tubular magazine that holds 20 rounds, and it's not illegal.
Be darned. Yeah, somebody needs to weld a tubular feeding device up to the bottom of a rotary Ruger magazine, and then and weld it into place, and then make a lawful 20-shot repeater out of the 10/22.
That's one of the parts of the law that really doesn't make any sense, and it just shows you that the legislature didn't ask anybody that knows anything about firearms at all a word before. But they didn't even ask the superintendent of state police about what they were going to pass. They just passed it in the dark of night, if you will.
Yep, very much, about 11:30 at night. New York has a fairly long history of gun control. In your view, as a law enforcement officer, did the earlier infringements lead to this one?
Probably, yes. They had their foot in the door when they kept the original gun ban from back in 1994. They expired nationally, but it didn't expire in New York.
Be darned. Is there any way that along the line this could have been stopped? Or is this sort of a downhill momentum to this that's irretrievable? In other words, is there some way to install reason in the capital of New York, or do you think it's a foregone conclusion that reason has been abandoned?
Well, I'm told by my legislators locally that there's moving effect that there are 98 chapter amendments being considered to change the New York Safe Act already. That's before it ever gets to the court.
So a lot of what gets to the court may be mooted by changes in the law.
I would hope that it would be. I mean, you know, that's the process that I hope that we use to change it and make it more livable.
Yesterday I was at a similar rally to what you and I attended in the Capitol in Albany. I was at Phoenix. A few more people, a lot less jackets, but there was a whole bunch of AR-15s slings, 1-point slings, 3-point slings. There's a whole bunch of tactical shotguns, and just about every single one of the 2,500 people there was open carrying a sidearm. Of course, no violence occurred. There were a few police there, but they were in their cars. on the street outside the event. We didn't even, I mean, they may have had some plainclothes people there, but there weren't even any police officers standing right in the front of the Capitol when all these armed people were standing sort of between the American flag and the actual buildings of the Arizona Capitol. Is any portion of that legal? Could a person show up with a, I know handguns have been, open carry handguns have been banned there for a long time, but could you carry a long gun in New York and come to the legislature even if it were, if the magazine were out?
You know, I think maybe you could, but I don't think that's what the organizers wanted to have take place. They wanted less demonization of guns in general. And mm-hmm. folks, as you know, and I know, that don't understand guns or have never been around them, they're almost against them for no reason, just because of the way that they walk.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, to me, the ban on assault weapons is because of the way the guns look.
Mm-hmm.
The military-style weapons are certainly in vogue, if you will, by gun collectors. It's the most popular gun in New York State right now that exists, and they were selling them like crazy. And there's millions of them out there, and I submit to you that the millions of guns that are out there are never used in any sort of a crime ever at all. The guns that are used by people who have stolen and gotten their hands on them illegally and that are usually mentally ill.
Yep, at least the ones that go on these spree killings. When you retire, do you think you're going to move to a free state, or because you're born and raised there, you're going to stay planted right where, right in Fulton County when the time comes?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to see where this goes. My grandson lives close to me, and I want to spend the rest of my days where I can see him when I feel like it.
Bring him with you to Arizona. Live in a free state.
Well, I think that I could move to Vermont, where there isn't even a requirement for a handgun permit. And Vermont's a pretty liberal state. They have no gun laws, and none to compare to New York, and I could move over there and actually be closer than I am to him right now.
Huh, that's interesting. And as a retired law enforcement officer, you've got H.R. 218, so you could still drive across the state line and not violate any federal or state laws.
That's true, too, but I'm a firm believer that anybody with a valid gun permit should be able to carry it anywhere that they want to, and that's not the way it's been in New York State. And therefore, other states don't recognize New York's licenses either.
Yeah. Are you good with unlicensed carry as well? Do you think that would be like you have in Vermont? I mean, it seems like the crime rate is lower in Vermont than in New York. Would you be perfectly fine with unlicensed carry as long as a person has no criminal background?
I would be perfectly fine with that. I think that the New York State pistol permit system is a way for the state to gather money, and let's call it this.
Not only money, but also data, so that the data can then be abused and published in newspapers like you guys had happen to you. That was a real travesty.
It certainly was. And now the New York State Act has a provision that you can opt out of having your name published, but you have to fill out a separate form, and you have to make sure that you do that. That's the first form that's become available through the state police online.
It's interesting. It comes from the Department of Redundancy Department.
Yes. Interesting that New York State is very close to being broke, and the governor has put $38 million in the new budget toward the enforcement of the New York State Act.
Huh.
Isn't there somebody that doesn't have any food or something that we could put that $38 million and do something more efficient with it?
Yeah. You know, it makes you wonder, there's got to be a pretty good size between all the various municipalities, plus the counties, plus the state-level enforcement bureaus. There has to be a lot of law enforcement in New York devoted to what I would call the gun police. And it makes you wonder if they would take all of those agents and officers and put them on what used to be known as 7-Ups, going after serious felons, as opposed to gun registration, just ignored gun registration or ended gun registration, and strictly enforced against felons and violent felons in possession, people who would be, their crimes would be eligible for 7 years or more in the pen. It strikes me that it could have a huge effect on the crime rate, and it would, and you'd lose nothing in no longer regulating the registering, let alone permitting, but registering guns. What would be your opinion if that were to take place?
Well, you're absolutely right, and I said long before the SAFE Act was voted on that we didn't require any more gun laws in New York. We have over 200 gun laws on the books now. Strict enforcement of the ones that are there and punishment of the violators is going to end the problem. But no, they think that they're safer by making more paper laws.
Well, you know, the sheep are always just as scared of the sheepdog as they are of the wolf. That's what Colonel Grossman says.
Well, that's very true.
Yep.
Folks resent law enforcement. I'd like everybody to give some thought to thinking about law enforcement and the position that they put in, especially in New York. I want folks to think that any law enforcement agent right now is going to come to their house to look for their guns or take their guns. I'm afraid somebody's going to get hurt by somebody with that attitude, and it's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen in Fulton County. It's already happened. It's already happened in a lot of places like California, in Cuyahoga County in Ohio, and then down in New York City. They've been enforcing a five-round ban even on non-semi-automatics, even though the law doesn't apply to them.
They've been seizing guns, confiscation?
Yep. I got one of my listeners.
I got one of my listeners
here who has a registered Winchester 94 and 30-30 with a 7-round mag. He got told last year that he had to either convert it to 5 rounds or less, destroy it, move it out of New York, or turn it in to be destroyed.
Unbelievable. I'm assuming that most of your listeners are gun people, and they realize that what's going on. They realize that they have to contact their legislators and let them know that their feelings are strong on this. And folks, we can't be like these people that want to do this to us.
Yeah, you can't. Do you have any view on background checks at all?
Background checks are a bit of an inconvenience, but if you don't have anything in your background, you have nothing to worry about, certainly.
Well, the thing I worry about with universal background checks is that if they do that, it's a form of gun registration. Because if you make it impossible for anyone, any private individual, to sell to another private individual without making it a public transaction, the government then has a paper trail of every gun you got, and it'll only be a matter of a few years from that point forward until they got the list they need to collect them all.
There are a lot of people of that opinion right now in New York State that when you buy a gun from a gun dealer, and he makes out the ATF form that it goes somewhere and there's a registry of it. That's really not true. Gun dealers in New York State are required to keep that information on file in their own buildings for a year, and then it can be disposed of.
One of
what our government wants to do now is make a registry, like you say, that can
right.
be cross-referenced. I've heard stories of we have an ammunition requirement now in New York State. In order to buy ammunition, you're going to be able to have a next check done. You have to do the transaction face-to-face. You no longer purchase any ammunition over the Internet. And there are some folks that are of the belief that when that database gets built up and the registered assault weapons get built up, if you have a registered assault weapon and you go to the store and buy some .223 ammunition, the two are going to get merged, and then some member of the government is going to come to your house with a search warrant and I'm looking for the AR-15 that you didn't register.
Well, I'll tell you that in Chicago, they do something very similar to that. They have what they call the CAGE unit, very aptly named, Chicago Area Gun Enforcement. And they've had total registration of guns since 1975. And if you forget to re-register, you're out of town, you miss the re-registration date, then you send your registration in late. You then get, within the next 14 days, a visit from two pretty well-armed and armored Chicago police detectives who demand that gun by serial number. You say, oh, no, I sent in a registration. Say, no, you didn't. You missed the expiration date. We now demand the gun. And we don't have a warrant. We just need the gun. And if you don't surrender it immediately, well, it's not a problem. You don't have to. It's not a requirement of the law. We'll just come back with a warrant. We'll ram your door. We'll torch your safe. We will have your FOID card, firearm owner ID card, voided, making the possession of all your guns a crime, and then we will arrest you.
Well, it's a horror story, and that's the reason that we have to stop this from spreading from Chicago. If Chicago has the most gun laws and the strictest gun laws, why is it the murder capital of the United States?
506 murders in the city of Chicago last year alone. Some of them...
I mean, extreme, Mm-hmm. Media doesn't report on that. The mainstream media is only interested in the children that have been killed.
That's right. Well, we're way over on a break. Sheriff Laurie, I appreciate your staying along with me. You have a great day. Thank you for your service to the country, both in the Navy and as an oath keeper in law enforcement.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on the program.
My pleasure. Folks, if you don't want that to happen here, you have got to be a member of your local self-defense civil rights organizations, such as the Arizona Citizens Defense League. We are part of a coalition called Ban the Gun Ban Coalition. Get on the internet and join azcdl.org today at the highest level you can afford. You're listening to Liberty Watch on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.
That knock upon your door.
And that's exactly the knock on the door that Fulton County Sheriff Thomas Laurie was talking about, because the New York Safe Act has in it only face-to-face transactions for ammunition with registration of ammunition purchases. And if you're purchasing a lot of .223 ammo and you have not registered, or if you have an undeclared, well, it doesn't matter if you declare it, you can't keep it. If you're purchasing all kinds of .223 ammo in bulk, and it's going to cause probable cause for a search warrant, they're going to ram your door and they're going to search for .223 caliber rifles if you start buying any significant quantity of ammunition in New York. And that's what he's talking about, the two databases, the merging of those databases. And he poses the legitimate concern that people are indeed worried about that. And I think his concern is valid, and I also, he didn't realize it, but the gun shops in New York, he made a small misstatement. The gun shops in New York may not be required by New York law to keep the 4473 form, but they are required by federal law to keep it until they go out of business. When they go out of business, it is then sent into the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and BATFE has built a center to scan in all those 4473 forms into their database. In violation of the 1986 McClure-Volkmer Firearm Owners Protection Act and in violation of the 1994 Brady Act. So they're in blatant, open, and notorious violation of federal law. The question is K ipsos ipsodius, I believe is how it's pronounced. Who watches the watchers? Who enforces against the watchers? You can call in now at 520-790-2040 if you so desire, and we can discuss this in person, up close and personal. Hi, caller, your first name, please.
Wanda.
Hi, Wanda, you're on the air.
Hi, yeah, sorry, I was driving and I couldn't get in while the sheriff was on, but I wanted to ask him, you know, they were always giving out the gun-grabbing set of people, are always giving out these figures of all the gun violence deaths that have occurred in a year or a certain time, certain area, whatever. But those figures have to include anyone that was shot while trying to commit a crime.
Yes, they do.
That would be a gun death. But they were the criminal, not the victim, intended victim. And, you know, the things like gang wars, what are some of the other things that we hear about where the criminals are killing each other,
mm-hmm.
and they count that as,
right, as part of it.
Let me
break it down for you a little bit, okay?
Okay, yeah.
Police kill in the line of duty somewhere between 300 and 600 people a year.
Is that counted in there?
Yes. They okay. shoot between about four times that number in the line of duty. They kill about a third to a quarter of the people they shoot. So in the line of duty, shootings are about four times that number nationally. So you can look at between 600 and 4,000 people a year who are shot in the line of duty by police officers, largely legitimately, although there are some accidents, like the 9 people who were shot in New York City and Manhattan a few months ago by through-and-through wounds, by ricochets, and by misses. But those are all counted as part of the statistic. Also counted, there's about, the number has been going down since the 1990s in terms of deaths by firearm.
Well, the no, number if you shoot someone...
Hold on. The number has been going down. There were about, in 2010, which is the last year we have figures for, there were about 29,000 murders in the whole United States in 2010. Of those homicides, approximately, a little more than half, about 17 or 18,000, were suicide. And the rest, when you mix them all in, including the 300 to 1,200 shot by police, there's a fairly constant number of people who are killed legitimately in legitimate acts of self-defense. That number is approximately 1,000 to 1,500 a year of people who are killed by civilians in the act of a crime, and it's justifiable homicide. And there's probably about four times that number who are wounded by civilians. So if you take that number, the 1,200 by police, and subtract it from the 11,000 that are left, and let's say 300 to 1,200, depending on the year. So if you subtract, say, 600 of those, and you subtract the 1,200 a year, you're down to about 8,500 murders committed by other people in the United States. In a country of 320 million people, that is not a terrible statistic. Further, if you break that down, there are only about 75 counties in the United States, Cook County, San Francisco County, Cobb County, Georgia, the areas around the major cities that are the problem. Largely throughout the rest of the United States, murders are not, statistically speaking, are not a large issue. Go ahead, Wanda.
Well, you see, when they give out those figures, like Feinstein will do some of the people that are, you know, they want to make guns look really bad and they want to get rid of them. They don't break those figures down.
No, they don't.
People really think, well, these are all the you know, murdered victims and children and everything that have been killed.
Well, I'll give you.
And then they still don't take in the fact that criminals never register guns or don't even buy legal guns.
Well,
guns
I think we could solve the school problem completely by just making larger signs that say no guns there, don't you?
Oh, sure, and I think that every principal and any teacher that feels, you know, capable of doing it should be allowed to be armed. As long as we're going to have crazy people going in and shooting children, we have to do something that makes sense.
Well, the problem is people make their politics make that into a higher law than the safety of the children. That's something Ron was saying when he called in during Swap Shop, that what we do is we undervalue the children and we overvalue our political opinions, saying that guns are bad, or making the insane and stupid argument that you have to worry about the crossfire. Really? Do you? I mean, you got to worry about the teacher being harmed and someone being an innocent person being harmed? Really? Is that a worse result than 20 children dying? Really?
Well, you know, if you can get trained.
Right.
And see, if I were a teacher today, I would put my desk very close to the door,
mm-hmm.
and I would have my gun ready, and I would have some way of having good vision. So,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, if someone come in that looked like they were carrying arms, the teacher would be the first to know.
Well, another thing you could do with children who are at least, say, 7th or 8th grade or above, is you could appoint two kids, to watch the doorways. And any time they saw a threat, they could yell out a code word, and it would cause all the children in the class to throw whatever's in their hand at them. It would severely distract any attacker, and it would give the teacher or any armed person in the class time to engage them, and it would probably work. Even if they were unarmed and had to assault them physically, it would probably overcome the person with the gun. Hey, I'm up on a break. I've got to take it.
Thank
I appreciate
you,
your contribution.
Thank you for clearing that up. Let's make sure we question them the next time. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.